Malka? Brandela? He's not on yet. Okay, thanks. I'm gonna go mute. I'm at work.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we will start with Tehillim 13 on the bottom Psalm landing page. Said earlier in all of the recordings, those handouts are available on the Unique Astrological Times link. When that opens, scroll down to the Shelvavim preparation section, and it's the first two links under that. And I'll start with L'Shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kud Shabarichu, Ishkinte, Bivkilu, Urchimu, Udkilu, Udkilu, Urchimu. L'yakta, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavadhe, B'yichuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah. La'ihino am Adonai Eloheinu, Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu, Kanane, Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu, Kananehu. Psalm 13, Tehillim 13, is the psalm that we say, one of the psalms we say, on the second day of the monthly cycle. A prayer for an end to the long exile. One in distress should offer this prayer for his troubles and for the length of the exile. This is the traditional Kavanah when saying this psalm. The first word is Lamnatseach Mizmor. It's a combination of these two words. The Hebrew of Lamnatseach is translated as dedicated to the orchestra leader of creation who grants eternal victory. The second word, Mizmor and Mizmor le David, which in Hebrew is a cutting word, a pruning word. And please see the introduction to Rabbi Sutton's PDF. There are six verses in this psalm. The number connects to the energy of heaven, of Zeranpin, and also to the creation of the six directions. North, south, east, and west, up and down. Now let's transfer to the Yearning for Redemption PDF file. Tehillim 13. David yearns for closeness to Hashem, for the end of his sorrows, and of Israel's tear-laden exile. He asks, how long will you forget me? Forever? When will the light of redemption finally illuminate the darkness of this world? But through this very crying out, he is able to pierce the veil that separates him from Hashem's redemption light. More, he understands that his and Israel's salvation, redemption, is inseparably bound to the ultimate redemption, the redemption of the Shekhinah. If, in the meantime, Hashem's presence is truly with us in our suffering, this changes the very meaning of suffering itself. He is comforted even now. The first verse. Lam natseach mizmor li David. The English. Lam natseach, dedicated to the one who grants eternal victory. Mizmor li David. A cutting psalm, a pruning song by David. This is the first time in the Psalms that we have read. There are so few words in this first verse. There's no other embellishments. There's no other explanations. It's just these three words representing the right column, the left column, and the central column. The second verse, I also will make a comment about that first verse. In spirituality, sometimes the consciousness is less is more. There are other times when the consciousness is, in spirituality, is that more means more. But it's difficult to know when that is. But in this particular case, speaking of this psalm, having only the three words in this opening verse is very powerful. Less is more in this case. Adonai, Adonai, Yohewahei. Tishkacheni netzach Adana tastir et panecha mimeni. How long, Hashem, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face, your presence from me? There are 11 words. 11 words relates to the 10 Sephirot plus the negative system. It's the complete structure of creation. The third verse. Adana Ashid Eitzot B'nafshi Yagom Bilvavi Yomam Adana Yarum Oyevi Allah Alai. How long must I seek counsel within my soul at night, only to be plagued with grief in my heart by day? How long will my enemy continue to raise himself up high above me? fourth verse. Habita aneni Adonai Ohewahe Elohai Haira Enai Ben Ishan Amavet. Look down and answer me, Hashem. My God, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Footnote number 31. Lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest I sleep away my existence in this world, which is likened to the night. It's also, this is an unwritten commentary, the sleep of death is referring to people who are not doing any aspect of spirituality. They're just oriented to physical pleasures, materiality, and that is called the sleep of death. They look like they're alive, but they're really not. The fifth verse. Pen yomar oyavi yikalti tzarai yagilu ki emot. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and my oppressors rejoice when I stumble. Footnote number 32. Lest my enemy, the shadow power which I was born to harness, and my oppressors, the negative thoughts that plague me and imprison me, rejoice. In truth, those lower aspects of ourselves that seem to rejoice when we fall are waiting for the day when we will overcome their insidious influence. When we finally wake up from the sleep of this world, we will then not only become free from these negative influences, but transmute them and bring them with us as we enter a new life of Hashem awareness. In the end, nothing gets left behind. I have to admit that this footnote needs to be contemplated. It's not clear what is being referred to. The sixth pasuk. Ani bechazdecha v'atachti yageli b'yishuatecha Ashira l'Adonai Ohewahe ki gamal alai. As for me, I have always trusted in your unconditional love. My heart will therefore rejoice in your deliverance. I will sing to Hashem forever, for he has bestowed me. He has bestowed his salvation, his love, his reward upon me. There are two footnotes, 33 and 34. Footnote 33. Or as for me, I have always trusted in your chesed, in your unconditional love. My heart will therefore, Yagel, rejoice in your deliverance. I will sing to Hashem forever for all that he has, Gamal, bestowed upon me. Based on the meaning of the word Yagel, the Malbim explains the difference between Chesed and Gemul. Va'ani bechasdecha betachti As for me, I have always trusted in your unconditional love. Yagel libi, my heart will therefore rejoice. Ki gamal, for he has already bestowed. The root of Yagel is gil. Gil is the kind of joy that we feel when something good that we were not expecting happens by surprise and without warning. Accordingly, when the psalmist says, true, I have always trusted and relied upon your chesed, your unconditional love, namely that you would deliver me despite my unworthiness as an act of pure chesed. Now, however, I will sing to you, for gamal, you have bestowed salvation upon me as a gemul, a reward, a recompense for my service, as if I truly deserved it. The Shlach sees another meaning in the word gamal. True gemul can refer to reward and recompense, but not only in a clearly positive sense. Gemul is used for any payment, including payment for debts incurred. Still, David sings to Hashem for this recompense. How is this possible? I will therefore sing to Hashem for gamal alai. He has recompensed me for all the wrongs that I have committed, the wrongs that caused me to be exiled, and the wrongs I committed during my exile, to my face, for in this way he has given me the merit to deserve the messianic redemption. This is similar to the verse from Isaiah, and you, Israel, shall declare on that day of the final redemption, I thank you, Hashem, though you showed me anger. Similar to the Malbim, the Shlach distinguishes here between Chesed and Gemul. Chesed is unearned kindness. Gemul is the reward we reap for either having performed a task well, or conversely, for having endured whatever suffering we deserved as a result of our wrongdoings. In truth, as we see throughout the Psalms, Hashem runs the world with a perfect combination of the two. In this verse, we learn that the redemption will be a perfect combination of both as well. Redemption will be a gift, and yet it will also come as a necessary recompense for all that Israel has endured throughout history. At any rate, according to the Shlach, even though Hashem seems to treat us harshly in this world, Mida Keneged Mida, still, even this is a manifestation of his great love for us that will be totally revealed in the Messianic age and in the world that is coming. This commentary is quite wordy, but Rabbi Sutton is saying that he doesn't have the concept that the Kabbalist Rabbi Ashlag has revealed, the concept of cause and effect. He's speaking in the religious language of reward and punishment. Rabbi Sutton is a student of Kabbalah, if not a Kabbalist at this point. And as such, he understands the consciousness of cause and effect. But he is speaking to people who he expects not to be knowledgeable. He is speaking to the women over the centuries who have said the Psalms because it was the words fed their emotions. The sensitivity to light was felt by them. But they didn't have the words, and they would not understand the intellectual statement, cause and effect. So he spoke in the language that they do understand. reward and punishment. Footnote 34. My heart will therefore rejoice in your deliverance. The Midrash does not miss an opportunity to see here a hint to the very deep connection that exists between our suffering and Hashem's. Rabbi Abahu said, "This is one of those verses in which the redemption of the Holy One is seen as inseparable from the redemption of Israel. It is not written, 'My heart will therefore rejoice in my deliverance,' but 'My heart will therefore rejoice in your deliverance.'" David said, "Your deliverance, your redemption is our deliverance, our redemption." This is a very powerful understanding. This is the end of our study of Psalm 13. Are there any questions? Returning to the Psalm landing page for Tehillim 14. Say this psalm on the second day of the monthly cycle. We're still in that second day of the cycle. This psalm speaks of the destruction of the two holy temples, the first by Nebuchadnezzar and the second by Titus. And the above kavanah is a traditional kavanah to use when saying this psalm. But the language that is being expressed is not really a specific kavanah. The word speaks of the destruction. It does speak of the destruction. But we need to feel the loss of the temple. That's the kavanah. It's not that we're speaking of it, but we're trying to truly understand, to in essence feel the lack that is the temple's destruction. And on one sense, to remember where we were in the world when the temples were destroyed. What was the lack in that lifetime that we were experiencing? Or the lifetime after, in those first few hundred years after the temple's destruction, how could people go on? When we lose a loved one, a father, a mother, we all go on. But how do we go on? What is that lack we feel? How do we weather it? A million times the power of that feeling of the loss of a sibling, the loss of a parent, a loss of a friend, a close friend, a million times more is the real pain of the loss of the temple. And in our generation, it's very difficult to understand that. These words help us to achieve that understanding, that connection, to truly feel the loss of the temple. The first word is Lamnatseach, which in Hebrew is often translated as dedicated to the orchestra leader of creation who grants eternal victory. And again, we refer you to the introduction section. There are seven verses in the psalm. The number seven relates to the physical world. Time, 7 days in a week. Malchut, representing manifestation. The actual Kavanah is rebuilding the third temple. Transferring back to the yearning for redemption. In this psalm, King David peers prophetically into the future, to the time when a Nabal, a vile and contemptible man, which is Nebuchadnezzar, will destroy the first temple. The psalm is written in the past tense, because when a prophet sees something in the future, he experiences it as if it has already happened. In more general terms, the psalm is a continuation of the last three psalms, in which David bemoans the extent to which society can deteriorate when the forces of godlessness prevail. Still, despair is not inevitable. On the contrary, our faith and our knowledge that Hashem is forever present and available, and that his plan for mankind is never inoperative, give us the fortitude to weather all tests, for the entire world is as naught for Hashem. And his utter transcendence, which the vile man, the Satan, misinterprets as his absence, is for us the greatest guarantee of his closeness. For he is above the system of creation and never limited to its rules. Lamnatseach LeDavid amar Nabal, balibo ein Elohim hishchitu, hitayvu alila ein oseh tov. Lamnatseach, dedicated to the master over creation who grants eternal victory. By David, the contemptible man has always said in his heart, there is no God, no divine providence, no reward or punishment. He and his like, brought ruin to society. Their behavior caused depravity to become the norm, to the extent that there is no longer anyone who does good. Chas v'shalom. Remember, less is more. This is one of the longest first verses in the Psalms that we have read up till now. The second pasuk. Adonai Yoheh Waheh Mishamayim Ishkif al b'nei Adam lirot hayesh maskil doresh et Elohim. Hashem has looked down from heaven onto the children of Adam to see if there is anyone who is using his intelligence, who seeks Elohim. We have to ask, why would we be seeking Elohim? Why would we be seeking the attribute of judgment? The third verse. Ha'akol sar yachdav Ne'elahu eino se tovein gam echad. But behold, they have all turned away from the path of righteousness. All of them together have become ruined. Not one of them is a doer of good, not even one. The fourth verse. Halo Yadu Kho Pole Awen Okle Ami Ahlu Lechem Adonayo He Wahe Lo Karau. How can they think that there is no God? Behold, all workers of iniquity who have devoured my people like they devour bread, they should know that it is only because my people have not called upon Hashem that he has given them over into their hands. The verse is describing the effect of not calling upon Hashem. There's a verse in Psalms, a verse in Proverbs as well, similar. Hashem always answers those who call upon his name, as long as they call upon his name in truth. And there's much commentary on that verse. And there is much to contemplate about that verse. But this is one of the reasons that I have been given permission to say out loud the letters using their root vowels whenever we say Adonai. The fifth verse. Sham pachadu pachad ki Elohim bedor tzadik. There they feared a great fear, for Elohim allows his presence to be felt in a righteous generation. Do you think we live in a righteous generation? The sixth pasuk. Atzadani tavishu Adonayo hewahe machsehu. You fools dare to ridicule the counsel of the poor one, Israel, that Hashem is his sole refuge. We are to answer any of the other people, the other nations, who laugh at us, who portray us in a negative connotation, because we are connecting to Hashem, and we depend on Hashem, and they revile us for doing so, because in their opinion, everything is their cause. They were the ones who made things happen. But it's not true, as we know. And how do we answer them when we say so? It's not something we can prove. Only our testimony that this is the reason, that we know this truth, only this testimony will cause those people to change. The seventh a soup. Mi yiten mitzion Yeshuat Yisrael b'shuv Adonai Yohewahe Shevut Amo Yagel Yaakov Yisbach Yisrael. Oh, that we could be lifted up to see Israel's salvation shining forth even now from Zion. Then, when Hashem returns with his exiled people, Yaakov's ecstasy will rise up ever higher. Israel will attain everlasting joy. That's the end of Psalm 14. Does anyone have any questions? We're going to return to the Psalm landing page for Tehillim 15. We're still in the second day of the monthly cycle. This psalm speaks of several virtues and attributes with which one should conduct oneself. He is then assured that his soul will rest in the Garden of Eden. The above kavanah is a traditional kavanah to use when saying this psalm. The first word is Mizmor LeDavid, which in Hebrew is a cutting word. Refer you to the introduction by Rabbi Sutton. And there are five verses in this psalm. The number five connects to the door or the back cover, as in the consciousness of concealment. There are 11 attributes. This psalm is a song that allows us to truly connect to virtues, to midot, to attributes, character traits that we might need to change if we would only contemplate the meaning of each of these attributes and make changes to them as appropriate for our soul. This is the gift. It's a very powerful psalm, and it's recommended to be said frequently just for that purpose. David herein encapsulates 11 quintessential qualities and traits that one should cultivate in order to lead a godly life, to attain the highest degree of human perfection, and thereby inherit eternity. Mizmor LeDavid Adonai Yohewahe Miyagur Beachalecha Mishkon Behar Kachecha. Mizmor LeDavid, a pruning song by David. Hashem, who can dwell in your tent, live a spiritual life even in this world, which is likened to a temporary tent? Who will abide on your holy mountain, the heavenly Beit HaMikdash? The second verse. Olech tamim upo'al tzedek v'dov emet bilvavo walks in wholehearted integrity, deals righteously, and speaks truth in his heart. The last word is translated in his heart, bilvavo. It's the levav. Levav means heart, but it's an unusual spelling in that there are two bets. The word lev is heart. Levav means that there's an evil inclination and a good inclination. The leading bet, the bet at the beginning of the word, is grammatically known as the word in or with. And the vav at the end of the word represents the personal pronoun his. So the translation is clear. But the gematria of belav, levav, levavo, belivavo is 42. That's a powerful word. The third verse. Lo ragal al ishono, lo asal reihu ra v'herfa, lo nasa al kirovo. He who has no slander on his tongue, who has not acted wickedly towards his brother, nor cast disgrace upon his relative. Slander on his tongue is only speaking good words, lashon tov. Not acted wickedly towards his brother is not hurt anyone else, nor cast disgrace upon his relatives, meaning his friends. He's not embarrassed his friends in public. He has chastised his friends where appropriate, privately. The fourth verse. Nivze be'enav nimas ve'et yireh Adonai Yohei Wahei yikabed nishba laharaya v'lo yamir. He who is lowly in his own eyes and extremely humble, who honors those who revere Hashem, who, though he may swear to his own disadvantage, does not recant on his oath to tell the truth always, even if the truth hurts, even if it causes monetary loss, even if it causes emotional pain to yourself, telling the truth. Establishing where you are spiritually in your mind. These are the traits that are being described. The fifth pasuk. Kas polo natan baneshech v'shochad al naki. He who has not lent his money with interest or taken a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things will never falter. The verse is clear as it's written with this translation. Why does the Torah tell us not to lend money with interest? because interest is a burden. Time is a mercy. When you are adding interest, it's related to time. It grows with time. And there is no understanding that Hashem provides all of the monetary wealth to a person, and that is established on Rosh Hashanah. So when you use interest, time-related monies, you're refuting the understanding that everything comes from Hashem. Does anyone have any questions? We've completed our class for today. Tomorrow being Shabbat, tonight and tomorrow. So Motzi Shabbat will at 6 p.m. West Coast time, we will have Avdalah and our third meal, strengthening our immune system. And on the 7 o'clock, we will have a Zohar class for the Parasha of Beshalach. Beshalach reveals the 72 names of God. Sunday morning at 10:30, we will continue our preparation for Tu Bishvat, the new year of the trees. And at 3 o'clock, we'll continue our teachings in advanced reincarnation. I wish shalom to all, unless there is someone who asks a question. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
A beautiful Shabbat, Malka.
Thank you. You too, Hanok.
Thank you.